Hey, everybody, I'm Jody Vance.
And I'm George Affleck.
And it is time! campaign.
Unspun, coming up. Okay.
Welcome back. Are you jet lagged?
So I got in late last night via Montreal, delayed. So yeah, I got back late, crashed. Mostly got a full night. So yeah, just for those who aren't paying attention, I was in on a trek with my kids, all three kids and my partner and some friends in Northern
Sea. I love it.
A lot of walking. So
it was his birthday.
It was my birthday, but we won't say 29 again. 29 again.
And but it's always your birthday around an election, it seems.
I know, it's true.
That's why you are so politically savvy, my friend George. Yeah. Let's begin locally. We'll expand across North America, really. But let's start local BC election. As time of publishing said Unspun podcast, it is the eve of voting day, but voting has been open since October 10th. I voted on the very first day. It took me 90 seconds.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
90 seconds.
All zippy zip, zippity zap thing now.
Zippity zip Dominion voting machine. It was wild.
Don't mention the war.
No. So, but the interesting part, I think, that people need to understand is if you go in with your driver's license or your passport or some government ID, you can go into any polling station and you walk in and they will make a ballot for you based on your identification, based on your address that shows you the people in your riding. See, I voted within my riding. Mm-hmm. So that's why it took me 90 seconds. A friend of mine that was with me, Steve Pratt, was with me that day because we happened to be at the Kitsilano Ice Rink, and that's the polling station. And he's not from this riding. And he's like, well, I wonder how long it'll take me. It took him 2 minutes because he had to go over to the different table and they printed off a ballot. Like, it's so turnkey. And there's two or three names on the ballot, depending on what riding you're in, because some ridings don't have all three candidates because it's been such a chaotic run up to this election. So let's dive into, you've been away, but you've been catching up. You've been speed reading. You've been cramming for the exam that is Unspun podcast.
Yes, that's right.
Where are we at?
Holidays don't mean I don't love politics.
And, tell us what you think.
Well, I think it's too close to call. I mean, I think all the polls show that it's NDP by a hair. And I would say it comes down to Surrey and Richmond. Probably comes down to the South Asian vote. Where will they go? And that's a big deal. So we'll see what kind of promises have been made. Obviously, crime seems to be healthcare seem to be the hot button issues.
Affordability, housing.
Affordability. But this crime thing, Elena Sturco has been really strong on that file for the Conservatives. She's been the face of that for them, which is smart. Former police person, I think it's interesting. I think it's going to be an exciting night. So, doesn't matter where, if you're a political nerd, this is like as fun as it gets.
We got to do an extra episode. That's just dawned on me. We haven't even talked about this. We should do an extra episode this weekend. We should. So watch this space and we'll chime in because we'll both be geeking out and watching all of it. You know, we will be.
I'll be crashing some parties.
So I want to talk
a bit about some wakes.
Right. Where do you start? I want all of that information. But you said Richmond and Surrey. Interesting also, statistically speaking, that traditionally a certain demographic, shall we say, would always lean conservative. That certain demographic is actually leaning more left.
Yeah, very interesting poll in the polling showing that. And it's actually interesting with regards to the record number of people showing up in advance polls, as you mentioned, because usually it's the older vote that votes early, but generally that early vote votes conservative. So, and they're older. But the polling is showing that the older demographic is voting NDP and sticking with the NDP, which, and the younger voters are voting conservative. It's like, what is happening? What is it? So it's hard to know.
So
exactly
what do you think
who's
it's
showing up to the polls early on? Is it the NDP older voters, or is it the Conservative voters? Or so, you know, it's over a million already have done the advanced polls. This is huge.
That's 1/5 of British Columbians. Like that's and
massive.
You know, and how many are of voting age? So you gotta think maybe even a quarter. That's a lot.
Crazy.
So what I really found interesting, maybe apropos of nothing, but in our polling station, the volunteers have traditionally been seasoned people. I don't want to call people over a certain age old because
I'm creeping up on my age, you mean?
You're 29. No, but I was really enheartened to see that there are some young people being very engaged in the process. I know that my, 16-year-old, soon to be 17-year-old, his girlfriend just turned 18. She will be voting this year and asked, like, I want to vote. I think it's important that I do vote, but I also need to be informed about what I'm voting and why. Mm-hmm. And so we've had some really robust conversations around that. And I think that's healthy. I have no idea, obviously, how things are going to turn out here. I think it's fascinating. And we talked about this prior to you going away, or even last week, with how Sonia Furstenow has been sort of positioning herself now as like possibly holding the balance of power in a minority government, because a too close to call situation might put us back into 2017, mm-hmm. where it was a fully split legislature,
yeah.
with, Andrew Weaver sitting there going, oh, now I'm in charge of everything.
That's right. It's a good question. And then we have one or two independents that might win. I think I said that I would say that one northern seat might go independent. And Mike Bernier, maybe the West Van one, but I don't know. So that's a tough one. And then maybe, Sonia Furstenow will win her seat. So that's three, which is exactly what I think it was in 2017, right? That they had.
It was.
That gave them the balance of power and toppled Christy Clark's government. So, it could, are you telling me the Green Party or, who are they? It'll be interesting because it's not the same. I don't think Green parties will get, I think they'll win one seat. And then we might see two independents, maybe one, but two people might be all it takes. But you have a Green and a former BC Liberal, BC United. They could go either way. So
they could.
It's very interesting. And it's very likely that this will be a minority government. I think I've said that before. I think that if any of those independents or Green Party people win, if they don't, obviously it won't be. It'll be whoever gets, crazy.
And we, with polling, I wonder how confident pollsters are right now, because
mm-hmm.
there have been elections where polling was very much this way. And then this happened. So it'll be interesting to see how that plays out as well. And obviously the voters hold the decision, because people can be outwardly saying one thing and get behind that little folded piece of cardboard and check any box they want. Nobody needs to know how you vote. You don't actually have to tell people what your decision is. If you live in a household, they say that many dinner tables are split right now because they are so polarizing. This is a situation where we're seeing, I want you to, if you can, George, and it's a tough question, but to unspin like how we're seeing some, not just staunch Greens, but like the former Green Party leader in Andrew Weaver is now like fully supporting John Rustat and the Conservative Party. And then you mm-hmm. have like lifelong conservatives standing and really trumpeting and saying, I have, signed up as an NDP. It's just like, what?
Yeah.
My head's on a swivel.
I think that's because there's no middle. There's no middle ground anymore. And so you got to put your stake in the ground on one side or the other. I think with Andrew Weaver, he would always argue that he's sort of anti-establishment is his thing, right? And about specific calls to action of the parties and what they will achieve. And that's what he believes in, not party politics. He's always said that. And for a time, that was the Green Party. Then it was the NDP. And now it's the Conservatives. So Interesting and probably epitomizes the centrist vote that we are challenged with in every civic election in Vancouver specifically, and certainly in this provincial election. Where does that centrist vote, where does that Andrew Weaver vote go? There are some surprises, though, that I would think, wow, that guy is going to NDP. Okay, interesting.
But let's just stick with Andrew Weaver here for just 1 second, because it's a brain teaser to me to be, because I think Green Party and I think environmentalist, right? Mm-hmm. Like, that's what I see. I listened to Sonia Firstino earlier today speaking with Mike Smith, talking about perhaps holding the balance of power and what that looks like for her, and how you would be able to, like, he basically, Mike, in his Mike way, said, well, obviously you'd be leaning towards the NDP because the Green Party likely not going to prop up the Conservative government based on policy, because the big oil and Sonia was like, well, the NDP really have done, have gone from one extreme to the other when it comes to supporting big oil, as she likes to bring it back to. So it's fascinating to me, because the environmental piece, I'd like to ask Professor Weaver about that, right? Spin is real. Like you said, you have to plant your flag, and you don't have to agree with everything on a platform to support a party, right?
Like, impossible. Right? I mean, if you're a staunch party politics person, it doesn't matter, right? So those people who are staunch party party politics,
partisan,
they don't stray. So that's right. And for every party, that's about first and foremost get that vote out. So the question is, NDP is are they scaring people enough through all the money they're spending on advertising, which is probably 10 times more than Conservatives have? Is that working to get their vote out, to put the fear of God? Oh my God, the world's going to come to an end if you vote Conservative. Basically, their messaging. Is that working? I don't think so. It doesn't feel like it. Their ads they're not evil enough, to be honest. I think this has been a very negative campaign from both sides, but I think that the NDP party's putting the fear of God into people hasn't really been effective, I don't think, in a way that they thought it might be. I think that's a criticism of their creative and their messaging. It just didn't resonate, I don't think, in a way they thought that it might. But it's really ground game, which they call it in politics, calling people, getting them to show up, picking them up in buses. This is stuff that happens that people never see in politics, but it actually is very, very, very effective. And if you have the machine, in the case of the NDP, unions, which are very effective in being able to mobilize their teams.
We saw that with the municipal election with Kennedy Stewart, right? Using the orange. Yep. And getting the unions to stand on the street corners and hold up the signs. Yep. And that's the ground game that you're talking about, just to
give the
mind move.
Yeah, literally, walking and doors and things on the
door knocking.
People, all that stuff. Yeah. So, but they also have the air game, which is the advertising and all that stuff, which is the war, the ground game, air war. So, but momentum is on, I can't argue that the momentum is on the Conservative side. The tide is on their side. So will, as they say in politics, with the rising tide lift all ships, all boats, and
be. But it's really interesting, George, and this might be something that, you've been walking across Europe. So I'm not sure that you've seen the minutiae, but it was feeling like the Conservatives were coasting to an upset victory. And then all of a sudden, there's the one candidate who said that COVID-19 vaccines cause AIDS, and the leader doesn't say, I don't believe that to be true. He kind of waffled on that. And then more recently, with another fairly significant riding in that South Surrey, Surrey South, not South Surrey, but Surrey South, candidate who, oh my goodness, like Jazz Johal has been just throwing up all of these past Twitter posts and Facebook posts by this candidate. And it just feels like there's been no, I denounce that, because it's really racist stuff. Like, it's not just tinfoil hat stuff. It is, racist. Yeah.
And he apologized for that and all that stuff. And here's what I believe happened in the back room for John Rustad and his team. They said, okay, we got this problem. And we're like, we can't get this guy off the ballot now. So what are we going to do? You can either hold your ground because the momentum is on your side.
Right.
Provide the strong leadership persona that people are looking for, that as opposed to saying, yeah, kicking the guy out, saying, you know, the opposite, all those things, which John Rustad, there's stuff that he said that they can use. Well, you're saying that now. Then it creates a whole other momentum that works against him. So it's better from his point of view to ride it out, take the heat, and just go, hey, I'm focused on, the province. I'm focused on this, just kind of avoiding the question, which is what he's done, because that is more effective than dealing with it and the repercussions that will have. They've done the math. They've seen what it would do and how it would change the campaign. I would say that his campaign team, he's got a very, very strong campaign. He's got the best campaign team in Canada right now working with him from every possible scenario of across the country. They are all now on Team Rustad, all of them. You just list them all off. They are there. These people are highly experienced. A lot of them don't even know their names. They're all these people that are so...
Who are they?
Well, just Dmitry Pashinov. There's a ton. Let's just I won't get into the names because there's so many of them.
I thought that's what you were setting up. People don't know their names.
No, yeah, okay. But it doesn't matter because that's kind of the point of backroom people. We don't know their names. There are many of them, and I would say his challenge is listening to which one to listen to. He's just at a point where you just got to say, leadership is standing your ground, and that's what he's decided to do. Right or wrong, where you stand, but that is a more effective approach at this stage in the game than to waffle or flip-flop or do anything that gives the opportunity for NDP to go, waffle, that's not leadership, because that's what happened to you-know-who. The NDP did that, and it failed them miserably, and that turned the election around. So he didn't want that. This guy, who may end up on, giving the boot anyways, even if he wins, he'll be put in the...
It might be hard for him to win in the area that he's running because of the racialized rhetoric that he was using. And sure, I mean, he did a very lawyered, layered mea culpa, mm-hmm. and then more came out, and then it did not help him that, when Grace Key went knocking on the door there in his office and they came in, they were like, sure, you can come in. And then they realized who was there and they were like, actually, no, slam, get out. It's like, okay. That does not play well with the voter. So I understand, and I love the back room because I don't know anything about that. But from the optics is like, ooh, okay, all right. That could be, as we go back to Richmond and Surrey being pivotal, and it's going to be so close that it's too close to call, some of these decisions might turn out to be either the thing that saves it or the thing that sinks it. So how fascinating to go into tomorrow, Saturday. Scary. Everybody get out and vote on a Saturday. Get out and vote.
Well, what's interesting is some of those things that he has said in the past, those horrible things, a lot of people like. And we'll get the vote out. So, as horrible as that sounds.
I don't know about in that riding.
No, but I mean, across the
province. That's my point. It'll get other people, but you need those.
You just think that this works against the conservatives, but it actually...
Richmond and Surrey have more diaspora. What's the right word?
Yeah. There's diverse voting elect people. Yeah. And I think that Richmond, with its South Asian and Asian, as I mentioned earlier, Surrey has that same vote. They are very... focused on, quite often they vote in a strange alignment, however that works, I don't know. Yep. But it's definitely when there's a movement in a community, and I would say that movement is definitely but that kind of statement's against, but again, it comes out of those two communities, but I think that sometimes those kind of crazy things are working to their favor in some areas, which is interesting and scary.
Speaking of crazy, let's talk about U.S. politics. Oh my goodness. Like, depending on which major news outlet or cable news channel you watch, it's a landslide for one or the other. Are you keeping up on things south of the border as we're like less than 3 weeks from November 5th?
Yeah, not unlike here in BC, where they're focused on a few markets, where there are areas where they're out campaign, campaign, campaign. It's no different, and that's make promises to this area to win that area, right? So it all comes down to Wisconsin, Minnesota,
Michigan.
and then Georgia to a certain degree, and even Arizona.
Yeah.
But it's it,
But it's either the blue wall states to the north or those southern and western states, like those are the two blocks. But if from my understanding in watching Steve Kornacki, who breaks it all down, if Kamala Harris wins the blue wall states, she wins the election. So Arizona doesn't matter as much because of because the Electoral College. I'm learning so much again about US politics, which I find fascinating. It's exhausting. I can't wait for it to be over. And then I realize that even after November 5th, it's not going to be over. It's never going to be over. This is not about one politician. It takes a machine to create what we're witnessing in a split, a divided states of America. Like, it's wild.
Yeah, I think it's happening everywhere in North America and Europe. You're seeing divisive politics, and I've been watching this series on Netflix with Bill Gates. Quite interesting, and they get into that issue with how digital media and how did this all happen.
Yeah.
So I think it's obviously and what government should be doing to control messaging. There was changes that were made in the 90s about who controls the messaging and how much BS can we take. Who's in control, who's in charge? There used to be a thing in newspaper publishing called a publisher's prerogative, and it still exists. So when a newspaper would do something, because there was press councils that would oversee the newspaper industry, and this was put in
Yeah.
by government. And in radio and TV, they have the CRTC in Canada, but in print, they have their own structure of overseeing misinformation. So if somebody in the community says that's not true, what you wrote, so they would ask the publisher to reverse that comment. If
Right.
that didn't work, they would go to the press council, and the press council would oversee this with a distinct body that was not associated, and they would make a decision. And then the newspaper was required to do what the press council would say it. And this was non-governmental; it was a private process, and it worked for 150 years quite well. Where newspapers, for the most part, certainly in Canada, I'm talking, but in the States, this exists too. The press councils existed as well. There are
Yeah.
crazy papers out there as well, but
Tabloids were different.
so
Right? We get the
but there's no
tabloid by
structure
the
in
checkout.
place for
Yeah.
digital media. There's no structure
No.
like this that's being created for
Right.
us as people to say that's not true. That's not true. And these companies are making billions off of all this craziness and
Right.
biding
Because
us
rage
because it's a fact.
sells. Yeah. Yeah. Rage and clicks and what's happening
Exactly.
now. Now, okay, with that, I love that unspun piece. So that's what we're seeing when it comes to why the temperature. Is there something to be said for the fear of the other, the other candidate? The Democrats have always struggled where the Republicans have thrived in the Republicans get in line. They get in line, they say the same thing, they hammer it home, they get people out to the polls. Because if every, it's the old saying, if every Democrat in America voted, it would be a landslide for the Democrats, right? It's just that people stay home. They're like, that's what happened with Hillary Clinton. They say, the experts say, is that people are like, there's no way Donald Trump's going to win. So they didn't vote, right? And when they got up off the couch and did vote, that you got Joe Biden. But you got him just by a hair because of the Electoral College. Like, you need those states to come out. So we're seeing the campaigns now be very targeted for the Democrats. How are you seeing the Kamala Harris campaign playing out right now? What's the take the spin out of it when she goes on Fox News and sits with Bret Baier and gets, peppered?
I would say that's more on the Donald Trump side. I would say people are likely not going to show up for Donald Trump this time. I would say
Oh,
that they're
really?
watching this and they go, oh, this guy. The people who might have, they're just not going to show up no matter what you tell them, because I'm not going to vote for Democrats, but this guy is gone. I think there's that mood happening in the States, and that's the messaging that the Democrats are pushing forward. Like, so just don't basically don't show up. This guy's he's weird, all that stuff, right? So a lot of people, I think they're going to have their challenge. I think the Democrats have the momentum on getting their vote out for sure. I think the Republicans in the states have that challenge where they have an exhausted electorate supporters that just are like, and the ones that might have been like mediocrely, you know, mediocre, rah-rah Trump.
Yeah, moderate.
Like, maybe not this time. And I'm not going to vote for her. So,
or how many, right? So,
and I've heard that a lot about BC here, by the way. I hear that a lot in this province from friends who are saying, I don't want to vote for either of these people. And so they're just not going to show up. So it's interesting to see the data that's showing this massive amount of people showing up in advance. Because that's not obviously reflecting to the things I'm hearing on the street. People saying they just can't be bothered.
I cast my ballot and I don't talk about who I vote for because it changes. I'm not a dyed in the wool anybody. And this one, I knew it was more a vote against than a vote for. And I prefer voting for someone much more. It's more fun to feel like I'm supporting something that I believe in. But at the same time, I find that some of the tone, I would certainly not struggle with who to vote for in the United States. I mean, body autonomy, done. Check.
Yeah.
Right? We've seen enough happen as a woman. And interesting, again, across the table, who was it? What's the Democratic strategist's name? Carville.
James Carville, yeah.
Right. So I saw his little doc on CNN, which was was really actually very interesting. I didn't know the depth of his rise to be this great mind of politics and just how he doesn't give a shit. He just really doesn't in terms of what he says and whether you like how he says it and whatnot. And he was saying, can't even remember which, might have even been on Fox News. He said that, you know, there are going to be a lot of marriages that break up. There are going to be a lot of families that are irreparably damaged over U.S. Thanksgiving and Christmas because the discussion is so polarized.
Yeah.
And within a family unit, because it's not just political, it's ideological suddenly.
It's a different mindset. Voting in America where you have to declare your party support at birth almost. It's so weird.
Right?
You know, being in the middle and flipping back and forth is just not acceptable to most Americans. Right. You either are one or the other. And I find Thanksgiving, maybe just cancel Thanksgiving this year, everybody in America.
Yeah.
Move it to January 8th.
Oh my God. Don't even get me started about January. Well, that 27 minutes went by really quickly, George. I'm glad you're back on Terra Firma here in North America and we can keep going. Maybe we'll do a Sunday morning edition of that Spend Podcast.
We'll see. Let's, a 15 minute or something. Yeah.
I think we should. We'll get our coffees and we'll break it down. But until then, everybody should follow you on social media. You are at George_ Affleck. I am at Jody Vance, Jody with a Y, at Jody Vance on your Twitter. Follow us along at Unspun Podcast. And of course, like and subscribe, hit down here, send us your comments, maybe share with a friend, educate your fellow British Columbian on voting and the importance to get out and rock the vote. See you next time.
See ya.